Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I went to my dentist, and my dentist goes, "Oh, your gums are so good now." And I said, "Well, I'm taking this stuff called Balance of Nature." And she pulls out a bottle. And she goes, "Oh, you want some?" And they were all hooked on it. It's really good.
I have cut down on supplements so much with this because it's giving me a balance, and I can tell it. And I can really definitely see a difference in energy, stamina, and I'm sure that if that's doing better, the inside of me is doing better.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hey, everybody. Just letting you know that Mike Lindell and I, the MyPillow guy, we partnered up. And he wants to help this show, and I want to help him. If you go to MyPillow.com and order all the products you know you're going to buy, towels, sheets, blankets, robes, all these kinds of things, dog beds even, go to MyPillow.com and use the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get the deepest discount on all these items. They're the very best of all these items. He handpicked these things. And let me just tell you, you're also going to help Truth and Radio, and you're also going to be helping Mike Lindell. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great combination that you can do right from your own home. Call 800-873-1052. That's the phone number, 800-873-1052. You can order directly on that phone number or go to MyPillow.com, but make sure to put the code word KATE in. Thanks, you guys.
When you really want to ban guns, but everyone's buying guns with their stimulus checks. Tyranny. It's not as easy as it looks. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Mr. Bloom has 2 minutes.
I rise again, I'm afraid, to make the same old hoary speech that I've been making here for several years, and that is, it is my opinion that you do not really understand the concept of banking. All the banks are broke, and why are they broke? It isn't an act of God. It isn't some sort of tsunami. They're broke because we have a system called fractional reserve banking, which means that banks can lend money that they don't actually have. It's a criminal scandal, and it's been going on for too long. And most of the problem starts in politics and central banks, which are part of the same political system. We have counterfeiting, sometimes called quantitative easing, the artificial printing of money, which if any ordinary person did, they'd go to prison for a very long time. And yet governments and central banks do it all the time. Central banks repress the amount of interest that rates are, so we don't have the real cost of money. And yet we blame the retail banks for manipulating LIBOR. The sheer effrontery of this is quite astonishing. It's central banks that manipulate interest rates, Commissioner. So when banks go broke through their own incompetence and chicanery, the taxpayer picks up the tab. It's theft from the taxpayer. And until we start sending bankers, and I include central bankers and politicians, to prison for this outrage, it will continue.
Hi there. Yes, that was Bloom addressing the Parliament, very outspoken critic of the banking system, as he should be. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Milty is still out, and I'm so glad that you're listening in from all over Chicago and Alabama and Missouri, everywhere, New York, you name it, Oregon. And happy to have you because today's guests are Jared Dillon, and we'll be talking about the economy and then also where we stand in the economy. So if you have any questions, this is a great time. And then also to finish out the show today, we have Evan Sayet and the Woke Supremacy. His new book, and he did The Kindergarten of Evil. You'll love him again. So happy to have you, and of course, happy to have Jared Dillon on board today. How are you, Jared?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'll tell you, you have a memoir called Street Freak, Money and Madness at Lehman Brothers. You also founded your own financial publishing business called The Daily Dirt Nap. Love that. Daily market commentary. You're the guy. You're the guy to talk to you about the economy, what's happening, and where we're headed. And this will just be an interesting hour because I'm excited to hear what you have to say. And I'm I'm leery. I'm worried, as most people are. We knew when Biden and his little crew got into office that we would see higher taxation, that we would see the funding is out of control, funding for programs that they want to put through. And here we are, a little worried about what's about to happen. And I think a lot of people have questions about the bubbles going on right now, real estate bubble, you name it. Also, stimulus. Let's talk about the stimulus checks, shall we?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Let's do. Go ahead.
So we've handed out a total of $3,200 in stimulus. Mm-hmm. I think it was $1,200 the first time around, then $600, then $1,400.
Right.
We're also handing out enhanced unemployment benefits. We're basically paying people more not to work than to actually work. We're handing out benefits for child care. What's going on here? I don't know if you've noticed this where you live.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the Myrtle Beach area in South Carolina, and this is a town with a lot of hospitality businesses. There's a bunch of hotels. There's mm-hmm. 1,000 restaurants.
Right.
And all of these places can't get people to come to work. They refuse to come to work. And the reason, and it's just, they're rational economic actors. They're just saying, well, why should I come to work if I'm getting paid more to stay home? So I talked with a woman yesterday
mm-hmm.
who works at the front desk at one of the hotels, and she said she's checking people into the hotel at midnight because they only have a couple of housekeepers, mm-hmm. and they're working as fast as they can. And even the owner of the hotel is cleaning rooms.
Jeez.
Because they simply do not have enough people to do this, and it's because they're staying home. So what's happening here is that the private sector is bidding against the government for workers. And the net effect of this is it's creating wage inflation. In order to get people to come to work, the private sector has to raise wages above the point what people are getting for stimulus, and then people will come to work. And this is going to create a lot of inflation that is going to pass through the economy.
Ooh. Nobody wants to hear that. That's terrible. Oh my gosh! And I do believe you're right on this. People will not go to work. If you get paid more, why would you? Where's the incentive? You know, we're creating almost a universal income, if you will, right?
You know, I would. I mean, we'll talk about basic income in a second. You know, I would talk. You know, if I were to create a government, I don't believe the government should be in the business of nudging or incentivizing people to do things, but to right. the extent that a government does that, we should be incentivizing people to work, and we should be incentivizing people to save. And we're doing the opposite. We're incentivizing people to stay home and spend money.
Right.
And spend money the opposite. It's impossible to save when interest rates are zero.
Right, right. And, you know, the amount of the stimulus always cracks me up because it's not like it can, in my eyes, it's not like it could do a whole lot, yet it hurts us because we're the ones that end up paying for it. Do you want to talk about the ridiculous stimulus cycle?
Yeah, so we've done $1.9 trillion already. By the way, a lot of people don't really have an idea of what a trillion is. A trillion mm-hmm. is a million billion. Okay, that's what a trillion is. So we've done $1.9 trillion in stimulus that had the $1,400 checks.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about a $2.25 trillion infrastructure bill, only about 6% of which only goes to infrastructure. Then they're talking about another stimulus bill after that. We're talking about, you know, if this keeps up at its current pace, we're talking about $10 to $15 trillion in spending in Biden's first year. You know, a lot of people complained about the deficit under Trump, but this is way above and beyond what Trump did in terms of the deficit. We're going to be running deficits that are bigger than what we had in World War II. We already are. We're already running deficits that are bigger than what we had in World War II when we were building aircraft carriers and planes and tanks.
Mm.
Now we're just handing out checks.
Jeez. What's the end game with that? Why push us into the trillion-dollar oblivion? Because I've never seen a year where we passed multiple trillions before. Have we ever witnessed that before?
No, this has never. It kind of happened after 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, for a couple of years, ran $1.8 trillion deficits. And then what happened was, in 2010, Obama lost 63 seats in the House to the Republicans, And then for the next 6 years of his presidency, you basically had this forced austerity because Obama was dealing with a Republican majority in Congress and couldn't get any spending passed. So in the last 6 years of Obama's term, there actually wasn't a lot of spending. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2022. Now, the conventional wisdom is that an incumbent president usually loses seats in the House and Senate during the midterm elections. I'm not so sure that's going to happen this time around, because what they're effectively doing is buying votes with this stimulus.
Yeah, and then we have fraud on top of it. So of course, it's like a huge win-win for them. So they just hand out candy, or in this case, money, and people vote, right? They vote their small little paychecks.
It's bread and circuses, and you mentioned taxes, so let's talk about taxes for a second.
Sure.
So, you know, the tax part of this, Biden does want to raise taxes, and he's looking to raise, I think it's $3.5 trillion is the number, but that's over 10 years. Okay, that's over 10 years, and that's $350 billion in a year. So in the context of the overall deficit, this really does nothing. You know, if you're talking about $350 billion of a tax increase in a year, and you're spending $5 to $10 trillion, it doesn't do anything about the deficit. And the reality is that with the deficits that we're running, you could raise taxes on every person, every corporation to 100%, and it still does not make a dent in the deficit.
Wow. Wow. I know everyone's probably trying to digest that. I'm talking with Jared Dillian. You can go to jareddillian.com, D-I-L-L-I-A-N.com. So the cycle that we're in right now, where does this bring us, do you think, in a year of what we're dealing with right now? What will it look like financially in a year?
We're gonna have inflation. See, basically, the Democrats don't understand the most basic economic concept of all, which is the concept of a trade-off, okay? Mm-hmm. And you learn this when you are a child. When you're 5 years old, your mother says to you, you can have ice cream or you can have cake,
right?
But you can't have both.
Right.
Right? You can't have both.
Right.
And what the Democrats are doing is they want to have both. They want to have aircraft carriers and they want to have stimulus checks. And for now, they're basically just issuing a bunch of debt in the bond market, and they can have both, but there's always a trade-off. Thomas Sowell used to say this all the time. There's no solutions, only trade-offs. And the trade-off is inflation. I talked about the wage inflation that we're experiencing. You know, right now, we have about 2.5% inflation. I think that next year it could be 4 to 6% inflation. And 4 to 6% inflation is pretty disruptive.
Right.
And I think once it gets out of control, it's going to be very difficult to reverse.
So what does that look like to real estate and jobs and incomes and everything that everybody's worried about right now?
Well, you talked a little bit about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, we spoke before we got on the air.
Sure.
And you mentioned real estate about, you know, people think that the real estate market being a bubble. I don't think the real estate market is a bubble. In fact, because interest rates are so low, even though the prices of houses are high, affordability remains pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You can afford a $400,000 house instead of a $300,000 house because mortgage rates are 3%.
Right.
And so the economy is growing. We have recovered from the pandemic. It will continue to grow. In fact, it'll run hot, and I expect housing prices to go higher. I don't think it's a bubble. So if somebody is listening to this and they're thinking, you know, I'm thinking about buying a house, should I buy it now or should I buy it later? You should definitely buy it now and take advantage of the low interest rates.
Ooh, that's good advice. Hopefully you'll come back for 5 more minutes. Can you stay?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to hit a break right now, but I just wanted to direct you all to jareddillian.com, where you can get more about what he's talking about. And of course, Jared is a radio host too, and also is on many shows. Let me say that he's a great economist, and I'll be right back with Jared Dillian. Don't go anywhere. Jareddillian.com. Be right back.
Yeah. appointment for a limited time.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Money, money, money,
money. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Oh, yeah. We're talking money. We're talking investing. We're talking banking. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to MyPillow.com, order up some products, and support Mike Lindell. He just put out a new movie, Scientific Proof, where they actually take you through all of the of voting software in all the different states and exactly what happened. So all based on evidence that you can watch right on the film, Scientific Proof. Go to MikeLindellTV.com. But when you go to MyPillow.com, make sure and put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. When you do, you will get 30% off. You're going to love this. They have a 2-for-1 on the sheets right now. The sheets are the most amazing Giza cotton I've ever slept on. They are so nice. You're going to love these sheets and the towels, the MyPillows, you name it. He picks the best of the best in product. So with Mother's Day, Father's Day coming up, make sure and go to MyPillow.com because you will be supporting Truth and Radio. And at the same time, supporting Mike and getting wonderful products for it. So it's a triple win. What can we say? I just wanted to reintroduce Jared Dillion. He is with me. He's an economist. And also, you can go to jareddillion.com for more information about Jared and what he brings to the table in talking about the economies on many radio shows. And it's nice to get a feel from Jared where he thinks things are going and where we stand right now. So, of course, we have to talk about the Federal Reserve. We just have to. So let's talk about that, Jared, and welcome back.
Hey, thanks. So sure. The Fed has two mandates. They used to have one mandate, and that mandate was price stability, which basically means fight inflation. Then they added another mandate in 1966, which was full employment. So the Fed has two mandates, which is they are fighting inflation and they're trying to maximize employment. Now, in the last couple of years, and it's really picked up in the last year, the Fed, they don't have these official mandates, but they have sort of these collateral duties. They're really focused on how monetary policy influences climate change. They're focused on how monetary policy influences inequality and how it helps minorities. This is real. This is what the Fed is doing. This is what they're focused on. Now, what they're doing right now is... No, I'm not being serious. Jeez. So... What they're doing right now is they're doing this massive program of quantitative easing where they're buying not just treasury bonds, but mortgages and municipal bonds and corporate bonds, and they're suppressing interest rates to artificially low levels. And what's interesting about that is that during the pandemic, you know, we did have a very sharp recession, but not that many companies went out of business. That's what should have happened. A lot of companies should have gone bankrupt, but that didn't happen because interest rates on their bonds, on their debt, were suppressed to 3 or 4%. So there were only a handful of corporate defaults. So if you think about capitalism, capitalism is a process of experimentation. Capitalism is unplanned. You have to allow for failure, and you can't have capitalism without failure. So what you have is a bunch of zombie companies that are existing in this low interest rate environment that should be out of business.
So then what happens? Where does this go?
Well, what happens is it makes the economy very inefficient. You know, if you go back to the year 2000, when we had very high interest rates, and that was a very tight monetary policy environment, and it makes the economy much more efficient.
Okay. All right. So then from there, what are we looking at now? I mean, with everything going on right now, where does this, I mean, I'm actually just in awe of what the Fed is studying right now and what they're trying to prove right now. I can't even believe it. It's like a piece from the Onion. But what happens in the future? Do rates go up or down? What do you see with the Fed?
Well, what's happening is that we're issuing, the government is going so far into debt in issuing so many bonds that it's starting to force interest rates up. So 10-year interest rates have gone from about 0.5% to about 1.7%, and they're going up. And if interest rates continue to rise, then you're going to get to a point where the government is basically insolvent and can't afford the interest on the debt. Now, the central bank is supposed to be independent, But Janet Yellen is the Secretary of the Treasury, and she used to be Fed Chair. Jay Powell worked under her under the Board of Governors.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people speculate there's going to be some coordination between the Fed and the Treasury, and the Fed will actually cap interest rates and prevent them from going any higher, which is going to lead to a crash in the dollar, gold exploding higher, and lots of inflation.
So do we see another 2008? Do we,
no, we're going to see something very different. You know, it's not going to be, you know, 2008 was a deleveraging from too much debt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, that was sort of a deflationary bust. What we're going to have is the exact opposite. We're going to have an inflationary boom. We're going to have an economy that runs very, very hot with lots and lots of inflation. It's going to be the exact opposite problem.
Okay. Wow. And so trying, and so after watching, you know, grocery bills go sky high comparatively to what it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and watching the prices for homes just skyrocket, right? What else do we notice? What else do you see,
well,
the biggest hits of inflation?
I mean, it's only the beginning. I mean, if you think grocery bills have gone up, and they have, they're going to go up quite a bit more. And I think housing prices are going to go quite a bit more. Things are going to get very expensive. You know, the funny thing about inflation is that the first couple percent, it kind of feels good. It, you know, it feels like the economy is picking up. It feels like we have sort of this, you know, roaring 20s going on. That's what some people are calling this, the roaring 20s. But once you get inflation up to a certain level, then it starts to get disruptive. And you go back to what happened in the 70s when we had cost of living increases and, you know, 14% inflation, like that's where we don't want to get to.
Right. I can't even imagine what that would look like right now. And so the roaring 20s, it ended up with the Great Depression. And so that's where you see this going eventually. Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, the funny thing about the roaring 20s, I mean, my favorite president of all time is Calvin Coolidge.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Coolidge was president from 1923 to 1929.
Right.
And the great thing about Calvin Coolidge was he was very cheap. He was from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very tight with the buck. And this was after a big recession. He shrank the size of government and balanced budgets. And what we had was this decade-long boom where you had massive increases in standard of living, massive technological increases. I mean, the Roaring 20s, a lot of people say, well, it ended in the Great Depression. But, I mean, it, just look at it in the context of everything else. I mean, the 20s were awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was growing. Things were happening. And so as we look to, I remember the 80s, and I remember the high inflation in the 80s. Trying to even get a mortgage at 14% was insane. What, does it go higher than that? Can it sustain itself going higher?
See, the thing is that mortgage rates will probably go up about another 0.5%. They're at 3.1% right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably go up 0.5% to 1%, and that's where the Fed steps in and caps interest rates. I don't really see a danger of mortgage rates going to 6 or 7%. And by the way, my first mortgage was at 7.25% back in 1999.
Wow. So looking ahead, people that are worried about investing a lot in the stock market, or what would you tell people right now about what to do? Because people are worried. They contact me all the time about it.
Well, there's no reason to be afraid of a crash in the stock market. That's usually what people are afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the market going to crash?
Sure.
It's not. It's probably going to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're worried about your investments, what you should focus on is your asset allocation. And if all of your investments are in stocks, if you have 100% stocks, that's too much. 80% is too much. You should have a mix of stocks, bonds, gold, real estate, other asset classes, which will insure you against the volatility.
Mm. Is there like a telltale sign of something going on that people could be very aware of, as we've identified in the past, maybe a precursor to something kind of bad happening that you've noticed?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, just remember, you know, it's the opposite of 2008. I mean, it's not going to be a depression. We're not going to have this huge recession. It's going to be the opposite problem. So people should think of ways to protect themselves against inflation. And I talked before about buying a house. You know, when you buy a house, and you have a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, that actually is a great thing to do in an inflationary environment.
Right, keep it
because
low.
Because the payment stays the same, and your income won't go up over time, and the size of that payment will get smaller and smaller in real terms.
Hmm.
So it's a great time to invest. It's a great time to buy a house. I mean, this is the environment that we're in.
Right. And so investing in real estate, just make sure you get it on a fixed, just to preserve that low cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other hints that you'd like to let people know? I'm talking with Jared Dillion, by the way, jareddillion.com.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, the bond market is a little bit tough right here. It's very difficult to get income in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury bonds are yielding 1%. Investment-grade corporates are yielding 2%.
Right.
Junk bonds are yielding 4%. If you look around in REITs or high-dividend stocks or MLPs, you can get 6%. But this is a very difficult environment to get income, and that's by design. I mean, that's what the Fed is trying to do. The Fed doesn't want you to invest in bonds. The Fed wants you to invest in stocks and take as much risk as possible.
Mm. All right. And then, of course, digital currency. Did you want to comment on that? Because it seems like the first stimulus bill, that's where they want to go.
I mean, I invested in Bitcoin a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it in 2019. I sold it in January of this year. I did pretty well on it. Bitcoin is a little bit of what you would call a decentralized Ponzi scheme. It's not actually like a classic Ponzi scheme, but it's an early bird game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a security. It doesn't have any cash flows. It doesn't pay any dividends. So you make money on it by buying it before everyone else and selling it before everyone else. So it's a little bit of a confidence game. I'm not a big fan of investing in Bitcoin. If you want to have 1 or 2% of your money in it,
mm-hmm.
this is a hedge, that's not a bad idea.
Okay. I love all this. Jared Dillion, a former trader at Lehman Brothers, and of course the Daily Dirt Nap, All the Evil of This World and Street Freak are two books you can grab over at Amazon. There's so many places, Goodreads, by Jared. Any parting advice for anybody coming in, and where do we land? Where do you see us in a couple of years? Just the high inflation?
I think in a couple of years, mm-hmm. in a couple of years we'll have significantly higher inflation. And I think people are enjoying this right now. But I think in a couple of years, we're going to have very high oil prices. We're going to have very high gas prices, commodity prices. Groceries are going to be more expensive. Economic misery is going to go up. And all of this is going to be happening right around 2023-24 when we're having the next election.
Ah, I see. And we don't have a lot of rising of the wages. In fact, aren't we about the same as like 1991? I think the average wage is $53,000 a year.
That is changing as we speak. You're going to see wages go up. Wages are going to go up.
Interesting. Okay. All the Evil of This World, Street Freak. Go to jareddillion.com for more information on Jared. The Daily Dirt Nap. You're constantly putting out the financial market newsletters. They can sign up for this at Jared Dillion.
Go to jareddillionmoney.com.
JaredDillionMoney.com. Sorry about that. Money.com. Okay. JaredDillionMoney.com. Thanks a lot, Jared. Really appreciate you joining me.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That was awesome. Thank you. I'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Do not go anywhere. KateDalyRadio.com. Over 2 million podcast listens now. It's crazy, isn't it? And the recorded live show. Be right back live in your area in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.